Hello and welcome to the Animals and Aquatics Podcast. I'm Ryan Bunting, Certified Occupational Therapy Assistant, and today we're going to be talking about transitioning into sessions in the pool, some of the things that we've encountered, and some of the strategies that we've used to help us out in our sessions. Working with pediatric populations in any setting can be that initial transition into the session can be a struggle. You don't really know what state that your client is arriving in. You don't know how much they had to eat before they got there, if they had enough sleep the night before, if they've been cooped up all day and they're just full of energy. It can be a challenge, and it can be an adventure. One of the things that we did to decrease both the parents' uncertainty and anxiety level and offer some familiarization for the client as well, so we actually filmed a video going as we were driving into the facility and then where we would park and the path that we would walk to get up to the pool, so that A, the parents knew exactly where they were going and had a bit more familiarity with that, and B, so that the client could actually see the process, so they could sequence it in their mind. If they were in the car and driving there, they had an expectation of what was going to happen next. And then also they could see inside the facility itself, and they could see what that was going to look like. And then we did a short greeting video from us so that, you know, we weren't complete strangers when they got there. And we found that to be helpful for both the parents and the kiddos. Before we even get into the session, during screening, we ask some questions that relate to the client's comfort level with the pool and their skill level, and just so we can have an expectation of what materials we need to have on hand to provide assistance if they need it, and so we can be ready so that transition can be as quick and smooth as possible. Obviously, having the materials set up for each client so that it's easy to set out and then put away quickly in between sessions, so there's nothing left out that anybody can get into and maybe get distracted. And then also looking at how busy is the facility that you're going to be working in. You know, is it a public setting where there's a lot of swimmers? Is the client that you're working with have any social concerns? So really you want to holistically look at the client and see what barriers to participation that area might provide that you might have to work around. So you can anticipate, before you even meet the client, you can anticipate what issues may be presented and then how you can work around those. Another recommendation that we make to parents is that the client come dressed with a bathing suit underneath their street clothes. This way, they can get changed over as quickly as possible and ready for the session. Knowing where the restrooms are, the locker rooms, and being able to tell the parents so that before they even come onto the pool deck, they're as ready to go as possible, also helps in smooth transitions initially into the session. When we first meet clients, we really try to present with low social demands. I try not to even ask, how are you doing anymore? When I'm first meeting a client, it's usually like a quick compliment. Hey, I like your, you know, I like your shoes you're wearing today, or something to just put them at ease a little bit, but not really asking anything from them. And then maybe a quick word to mom or dad and say, hey, how are we doing today? Are we good? And then from there, it's really just a invitation to participate in the pool. We always have a activity ready to go outside of the pool, just in case the client needs a few minutes to maybe warm up and get going. But for some clients, you really want to steer them into the session as quickly as possible. Because otherwise they get distracted. You know, I'm thinking about our kids who are on the spectrum. Yeah, it can be dangerous if they start getting distracted and following their own lead. If they get self-directed in the pool environment, then that can be dangerous. So we want to make sure to keep them safe, and sometimes the safest thing to do is get them into the pool as quickly as possible. With that being said, we have access to a stairwell that's made out of PVC. We use that for everybody, regardless of physical ability. And we've actually found that that's been a very helpful tool for that initial transition, because if I am working with a kid who just doesn't want to get in the water for whatever reason that day, we never force the issue. But what I'll do is I'll encourage, oftentimes the way I'll do it is we'll do an activity on the side of the pool. We have something called a watermelon, which is a big rubber ball that you fill up with water, and it becomes neutral buoyant when it's full of water. It's great for heavy work for the little ones because they can pick it up and they can thump it down in the water. And it's got not only that heavy work involved, but there's also the audio sensory aspect to it where you hear the water bloop and, you know, and the splashing of the water. A lot of kids really enjoy that. And so what we'll do is, for example, is a few repetitions of that on the side of the pool, just thumping it down, and I'll be in the water and hand it back up. And then when I think they're ready, I'll take it and I'll say, okay, let's do it over on the stairs now. And we'll move over towards the stairs, and I'll get them one step at a time if need be. You know, if we go by degrees just to get them into the water. And then before you know it, they're in the pool and having fun, and we're into our session. And sometimes it's just that they need that initial bit of regulation. They need, you know, something, right? As therapists, we're always trying to play detective and figure out where the client is at and what it is that they need, and also helping them to learn to listen to that and carry that over. You know, we always operate on a level of invitation, never force a session into the pool. However, there are things that we do to encourage and help the client. So with that, we also want to look at the sensory needs versus the environment. We look at things like lighting, right? I mean, we're trained as OTs to look at lighting in terms of fall risks, but also in the sensory realm. How is the lighting in the space affecting the client? You also look at the visual perceptual. If they're coming from a confined space, such as a hallway, into a wide open space, and all of a sudden their visual field opens up, that's another thing to consider. So all of those things really factor into that initial transition and understanding what the client might be going through or what they're experiencing. Again, we look at the physical performance versus the environment. So I mentioned that we use a PVC ladder that we drop into the pool. And so if you have clients either that are older or have a condition such as cerebral palsy, this can also be very, very useful for smoothing that transition safely into the environment. One thing that we've been working on is setting up a portable Snoozlin room for our clients with autism spectrum disorder to assist them not only into that initial transition, but also as the session went on. So having things in a small pop-up tent that have, we're looking at things like fairy lights or the interactive tap lights, maybe some squishy inflatable things and seating. We were thinking about beanbag chairs, but the issue with that, again, we're in an aquatic environment, so anything that we bring in there could potentially get wet, and then we have to worry about drying it out, or it gets moldy and not something anybody wants to deal with. So we've been trying to figure out some workarounds on that. The other glaring issue with this idea is electricity, because we are near a pool. A lot of the things that we want are kind of hard to find battery operated. So we are troubleshooting that, but you get the idea. It's in an uncontrolled environment. We're offering a controlled space that has some of the sensory elements that they would find either stimulating or calming. And that's another, just an interesting tool that we're exploring right now that I thought I would share with you. The initial transition into a pool session can be challenging, but if you learn a bit about your client and prepare them as best as you can by familiarizing them with what to expect, where to go, and what to do, as well as given them some ideas of how to dress and where the facilities are, you can alleviate some of the anxiety and help them transition into it. And if you understand the environment that you're working in, then you can see what some of the pitfalls might be that are presented by the environment and can plan to overcome those. You know, just like any other therapy session, a lot of our success depends on how well we prepare beforehand and make sure that our materials are organized and we have a plan A, B, and potentially C. So thank you for joining me today. I hope that you found this useful for generating some ideas for your next session. And I will see you next time.
Hi, thanks for listening today. If you've been listening for a while, or if this was your first time, I just wanted to take a moment and tell you a little bit about my upcoming Business Barn Raising course. We'll be getting started this June for a 60-day business boot camp to help you with all things private practice, getting started incorporating horses into your occupational therapy sessions. So if you're interested in the business side of things and getting some support this year, you'll want to be sure to be part of the Business Barn Raising course starting in June. You can find out more at Epona Academy or reach me at EponaAcademyCommunity@gmail.com.